You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated, senior writer. Now, what's this mean for the Pac-12? They're on the clock.
Pac-12 presidents meeting on Friday, I think, to see if they can get a consensus to go ahead and move forward with formalized practices.
Can the Pac-12 pull this off?
You know, the last I heard, they're trying to shoot for a Halloween kickoff and see how many games they can get in.
Bringing you the biggest guests and best interviews.
This is about $700 million. Kirk Herbstreit, ESPN college football analyst.
I don't even think these coaches are up in arms at this point. This is a conference that candidly has been struggling to matter. Really, the Oregon brand is about the only one right now carrying the day before COVID.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is Dan Patrick.
Welcome to the program, already in progress. It's hour two on this Friday. It's a meat Friday, in case you're wondering what's on the menu. Rib sandwiches and meatball parm grinder on the Traeger. And if you're just waking up, we're going to have Pac-12 football in the fall. Probably the week after Halloween is when they start. Not official, but we just had the Commissioner Larry Scott on. And it looks like not the spring. It's going to be in the fall. There's a president's call later on today. The commissioner said they probably wouldn't vote, but I think they've already voted. I think there's a consensus here. They have the rapid testing. They talked about getting that 2 weeks ago, and I think that was a game changer for the Big Ten. And the Pac-12 can't get it, and then all of a sudden the Big Ten goes, oh, let us get that, and then we're going to play. The Pac-12 has to play. And Pac-12 is probably going to get in maybe seven games, but I think just trying to get some of this revenue back, and if everybody else is playing and you feel a little bit more confident here, if you have the governors of California and Oregon signing off on this, I think the Pac-12 has to play. But we'll keep an eye on that, any other news with it, but we appreciate Larry Scott coming on and giving us his thoughts. And you know what? I know I was paraphrasing it when he said, look, the other conferences are being reckless. And this is 2 weeks ago when he said this. You know, he's basically saying that with the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC. They were being reckless because the Pac-12 is being overly cautious. Well, now the Big 10 is in, so I don't know if the other conferences are being as reckless as Larry Scott. And that's not his word. That's my word. But then he did agree with what I was paraphrasing. He sort of was calling out those other conferences. But it looks like everybody's in. Yeah, Paulie.
But he did say today, he said other conferences have different priorities and values. Yes, was one of the words he used. And he knows what he's saying.
Yes, but he's calling out those conferences.
He's trying to trumpet the priorities of the Pac-12 about academics and safety.
Yeah.
While lightly jabbing the others.
Whilst. Browns beat the Bengals 35-30. Nuggets Lakers game one tonight. Heat go up 2-0 in the Celtics. By the way, the Mid-American Conference meets this weekend to see if they can come back and play some football. When you're the number one overall pick in the NFL, you're on a, you know, in that small fraternity, and usually about 10 or so playing in the league at any given time when you think about it. And we got to see two of them last night, three of them last night: Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, and Myles Garrett. Baker was the top pick in 2018. Myles Garrett, the top pick in 2017. Of course, Joe Burrow this past season. And the one thing that Joe Burrow is going to learn pretty soon is being at the top of the draft brings a whole lot of expectations. You're not on a good team, but that doesn't mean the expectation level drops. Mayfield was great as a rookie, struggled last season. Myles Garrett's been very productive, but he missed some time with that suspension last year. And Joe Burrow, just getting started. But the expectation level is rising. He looked comfortable against the Chargers and at times looked great against the Browns last night. You throw 61 passes, no interceptions, and they weren't long passes, but that might be their running attack. And the Browns did what I said that they should do, be a run-first team, run-second-first team, and then let Baker Mayfield throw the ball. He had 16 completions. Odell Beckham got a touchdown pass, so everything's good in Cleveland. You lose to a team you were supposed to lose to in Baltimore. You beat a team you're supposed to beat in the Bengals. When the Browns lost big to the Ravens last week, Mayfield's doubters came out in full force and maybe quieted some of them last night. But Joe Burrow, Looks like he is going to be a star. I don't know about Baker Mayfield, but I get that feeling with Joe Burrow. There is something, there's a quality about him. Without telling me you're confident or cocky, he does that. There's a presence that he has. You know, Baker was that way at Oklahoma. He wanted to tell you how confident and cocky he was. Joe Burrow just is confident and cocky. There's a little bit more Joe Montana in Joe Burrow just from demeanor, where it's a quiet assassin. Not out front, hey, notice me, look how great we are. And Baker Mayfield, maybe he turns it around this year. If he doesn't, then I think Cleveland will probably go, okay, what's plan B now? Yeah, Paulie?
But Joe Burrow has moments of swagger. There's like he's yelling at the ref about a call in the first quarter. He's giving the ref like looks. He's been in the league for 8 minutes and he's giving the ref looks. And then he ran for a first down. He got up and all the guys who tackled him, he got up and gave a nice simple first down motion, just enough.
He's the third rookie quarterback since 1950 to throw 60 or more passes in a game. You already guessed one of them. It was Chris Wenke. The other one happened in the last 5 years. Last 5 years, rookie quarterback threw for over 60 passes in a game. Carson Wentz. Burrow is the first rookie quarterback to throw 60 or more passes in September and the first rookie quarterback to attempt over 55 passes in a game since Sam Bradford did in 2010. The best part, Burrow became the first rookie quarterback in NFL history to throw at least 60 passes in a game without having an interception. Just the 10th quarterback ever to do that. Ben Roethlisberger did it twice. Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck. He's just the fourth quarterback on the elite list to throw for 3 touchdowns as well. Cleveland's defense is not very good. But Joe Burrow to do that with, 3-4 days to prepare is really impressive. But that would worry me if I'm a Browns fan where my defense. Now, you might say, well, they only had 3 or 4 days to prepare for Joe Burrow. No, it's a little bit easier for a team to prepare for Joe Burrow, a rookie, than the other way around. And Joe does that on the road. So that would be concerning for me if I'm a Browns fan, that defense might have a couple of elite players, but it's not a great defense. Phone calls are welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. The NBA playoffs, Celtics meltdown again. And my Heat go up 2-0. Get that, Todd? Celtics meltdown, Heat go up 2-0.
That was nice. Yeah. That is more than serviceable.
By the way, Todd says that he's ready to go today if he were a SportsCenter anchor. Now, this is when you do a tease before you go to break?
Exactly.
Okay.
Or like coming up at the beginning of SportsCenter when they kind of go through the headlines with their cute little lines.
Okay. Russell Wilson, by the way, will join us coming up in about 10 minutes. What's wrong?
Todd's scripted setup bits work occasionally. He's much better when you say, hey, go.
Yes.
See. Right. See, Todd is better when he just drops them in. But when there's like the setup of like, okay, now Todd's going to do his Sports Center bit, it's immediately going to fail.
Kind of like the mock headlines, maybe.
No offense.
Okay, but do we want him to fail?
You know,
like, I thought that was the whole idea yesterday when I was on the fly, when I got caught and tongue-tied and I couldn't think of that second thing. They got a good laugh in the front row.
But it wasn't on the fly because you did it earlier before the show
started.
I know,
but I had forgotten exactly how I said it in the moment. So.
And then I set you up to do your Mike Tyson impersonation, and then you weren't ready for that as well.
I wasn't. I didn't realize that you were looking for me to do Tyson.
Yes, Seton.
I'm starting to come around to, I wouldn't mind seeing Todd get a couple of winners.
Okay. Well, Todd, you feel good enough. You got a couple of winners in here.
Yeah, this isn't like comedy. This is just what I think a SportsCenter anchor would say leading off of last night's action. It's not.
I think there's always a little bit of comedy in
there. I want it to be funny and clever.
Well, I'd settle for one.
Like, how is he supposed to deliver a joke now? Where he's going to be like, let's talk about the heat, and we're all going
to
die laughing?
The most hysterical thing ever right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Never going to happen.
We're not rooting for him to fail, but it's like if you live in the Pacific Northwest, you're not rooting for rain, but you're accustomed to rain.
I'm gonna root for Todd here. I know that the build up now getting bigger, and he's obviously gonna come crashing down, falling on his sword here. So if Todd Fritz was a SportsCenter anchor,
If you can't take the heat, wait, am I starting or not?
Yes, I just gave you.
Probably, I was just starting.
Do we have a drum roll or something?
No, we need like Sports Center music. We need the. Unfortunately, Todd can't relentlessly.
Coming up on Sports Center. If you can't take the heat, get out of the bubble. Buy or sell ticks. Boston blows a double-digit lead and got to dig out of a 2-0 hole. If I was a baker, my first two ingredients would be a splash of Chubb and a pinch of Hunt. How the Browns made the dog pound howl Thursday night. He won every game at LSU last season. Now he's lost two games in the last 5 days. Why Joe refuses to burrow his head in the sand. The Southsiders are going somewhere they haven't been in a dozen years. We call that a tease in the business. The Yankees put the bomb in Bronx Bombers. Justin Thomas puts his best winged foot forward, we'll explain. Lightning strikes twice, well, actually four times on the island. Dion gets off his bar stool and puts on a whistle. Plus, can't you believe it? How a father and now son went bust. SportsCenter, right about now.
Do you think it was better by going faster?
Yes. So you don't get a chance to analyze it too
No.
much.
No, let it breathe. I think it needed a little breathing room there. Just a little.
Yeah, but the open of sports, it doesn't have to kind of be like within a 60, 45 to 60 second wind. You're the pro. Like, it can't go on endlessly and like tell the whole story.
All right. So if I was doing it, Justin Thomas puts his best wing foot forward. We'll explain.
That's awesome.
The Yankees put the bomb in Bronx Bombers. Lightning strikes twice. Actually, four times on the island. Dion gets off his bar stool and puts on a whistle. And Canton, you believe it. How a father and son went bust. SportsCenter starts right now. Yeah.
That's so fantastic.
That was nice, bud.
Yeah. I wish I could deliver it like that. Even like 1/10 of that, I would take that a second. That made me feel really good. It felt like a really genuine, like, classic SportsCenter with something that I wrote by you saying that.
Maybe if you write for me, it'll sound a
That'd
little
be
better.
Fine. I would be absolutely fine with that because I thought that made it sound 10,000 times better than what I just did.
Yes, boy.
That was so great. Yeah. We couldn't have planned that.
Yeah.
That made me feel really good. My words just jumped off the page and came to life with a Dan Patrick mock sports center.
I didn't feel good about my performance, though.
I think it was great. And that was an awesome moment for me, personally, that All you right. just did that.
Thank you, Todd. Let's see. How about Matt in Oklahoma leading us off this first hour? Or second hour, I should say. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Dan. I'm not going to lie to you. I got a little teary-eyed there hearing the Sports Center mock headlines from you. Take me back to high school and college.
Yeah.
Wow. We used to have you guys on the loop all day long in college. Go to class, come back, still on. Same thing all day. So, hey, real quick. Browns defense, you've obviously been talking about it this morning. Big Oklahoma fan here. Of course, we got lumped into following the Browns since Baker's there. But have we verified there's not an ex-Big 12 defensive coordinator coaching that defense?
Well, it's not a very good defense. And to let Joe Burrow do that to you in your place at the very end of the game, you know, a couple of drives there. I was really surprised with that. I'm going to compliment Burrow because he didn't quit, or they didn't stop trying to push the envelope there with the Browns. But the Browns allowing that to happen was a little surprising. Gibbs in Virginia's back. Hi, Gibbs. What do you have for me?
What's going on, Dan T? Your boy Darius Rucker is right. I spent the last week down in Charleston, South Carolina, and that is the greatest city in America, man. It's just a very, very special place. But want to weigh in on the Browns-Bengals last night. I think the more impressive stat last night is with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, Joe Burrow had 45 pass attempts. And other than Joe Burrow running it six times, Joe Mixon only had 16 carries. You're never going to win a football game doing that. But I also want to get to Wingfoot real quick. Did you see what the heads greenkeeper at Wingfoot had to say about the USGA setup in the afternoon? You know, he was really upset that they laid it out so easy. It'll be telling now today. To see how hard that course gets. Looking forward to it. Hope y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Gibbs. Have a good weekend. Yeah, I was shocked at those scores. But, you know, if these greens are receptive, then you're going to get these guys taking any course apart. And it'll get tougher. It'll get a lot tougher. Because it'll start to firm up. And trust me, those greens, It's like there's a couple of them that look like an elephant was buried in the middle of it. It's just the undulation, like it you know, it just looks like these mounds that you have in there, and you're like, where did that come from? Like the 18th, the first, like they're just some really impossible green. Yes, McLovin.
That's another reason I can't play golf. You guys have this lingo.
It looked like a whale or an elephant had been buried underneath the green. It's just crazy mounds in there.
Tommy, he's going to use a precocious little 7-iron.
Yeah. They'll do that. Oh, a little sawed-off 5-iron there. he feathered that in there.
Sawed-off.
Yeah. But, okay, who's worse, though? When you're looking at analysts and they love to talk about something with their sport, that feels like it's just a fraternal group there. Is it football? Is it golf? Soccer? Like, which ones speak a language?
Baseball, for sure. If you're bringing cheese and Uncle Charlie.
Bobby Dernier hitting 221. A little Punch and Judy hitter.
Punch and Judy. Yeah, McLovin.
Well, soccer has to say something because there's absolutely nothing going on in the field, so they got to fill in some words.
No, there's always something going on. It just may not be something exciting going
on.
There's
a lot of room to breathe in soccer where you can talk about the history of certain things.
And I'm watching that All or Nothing for the Tottenham Hotspurs.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon. It's really good. Really interesting. I'm not interested in watching soccer, but I am interested in watching what goes on with soccer.
This is like the third soccer documentary you've walked in to talk about, but you haven't watched any of their matches.
Yeah. Well, Leeds.
Oh, yeah.
Watch that documentary, and then they ended up getting promoted there in the Premiership. So I just love the fan bases and how important these soccer teams are to the city. And then you got basically their Bill Belichick. Jose Mourinho, he's their Bill Belichick there of the Premier League. Yeah, Paul.
Did you ever see that movie about Leeds United Soccer Club? It's called The Damned United.
Yeah.
I think, because I remember you came in talking about it.
Yes. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It is. I don't know why I'm attracted to those, but, you know, just relationships and the fans. The fans are the best part. Yes, McLovin.
Some sports, I need like a more basic text. Like hockey, they're so into it, they never explain what the heck the blue line means. I still don't know. And soccer and NASCAR, like you can't go too insider on those sports because you'll lose.
NASCAR can go inside. I'm still not sure what a restrictor plate is, but I just go, I'm restrictor plate racing. Yeah, I love it. Three wide. I love it.
There you go. You got by. Boogie boogie.
All right, let me take a break. Russell Wilson Jr. III, he's got the Patriots coming up this Sunday night on NBC. He'll join us coming up next. It's 18 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. You ready for week two? DraftKings is ready for you. And no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now. You don't want to miss out on this. You draft your lineup now. Feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app and use the promo code SQUAD. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the Week 2 action. Enter code SQUAD to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. So promo code SQUAD, you draft and then you got to make sure you stay under the salary cap. And then you basically sit back and just wait and see what kind of points you pile up. DraftKings.com. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We're waiting to connect with Russell Wilson Jr. III. He's got a new podcast, Danger Talk. First two guests are Shaquille O'Neal and John David Washington. So we'll talk to him coming up. Bill Belichick was talking about facing Russell Wilson, and this is what the head coach had to say about Sunday's game.
This guy's a tremendous player. Honestly, I think he's, you know, in a way maybe underrated by the media or the fans. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't really see anybody better than this player. He can do everything. He's got, obviously, great leadership, playmaking skills. He plays very well in the most critical situations in the game with his decision-making. You put him up against anybody since he's been in the league, literally anybody, or in any category, really.
Who is this guy? That's the new Bill Belichick. Gushing about Cam, gushing about Russell Wilson. I'm curious if somebody asked him about his favorite memories of Tom Brady. He might say some nice things about Tom. Yeah, Paulie.
Later, he went into detail about the plan for the upcoming opponent and recapped in detail the decisions made in last week's game comfortably for the fans.
Wow.
No, he didn't do that at all.
All right. Man, that's a whole different Bill Belichick there. Let's see. Jesse in Los Angeles. Hey, Jess, what do you have for me today?
Hey, Pete.
Hey.
Happy Positivity Friday, and obviously we're here to honor Qualcomm.
All right.
I have a question about the NBA.
Okay.
But first, I want to compliment you guys on that interview we had with Gary Vee yesterday. It's not often that you can hear someone's heartbreak or world come crashing down, but when you guys mentioned the Jets offensive lineman injury, I about lost it because you could hear it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was no way he could hide. And we got a lot of reaction from Gary Vee talking about sports cards. And, you know, it was just something different. We thought we would try it. And, you know, people investing in trading cards again. I thought it was pretty cool. Brock in Indiana joins us. Hey, Brock, what's on your mind today?
Hey, man. How are you doing today, Danny?
Great.
Got a question for you. After the Joe Buck celebration last night, do you think Fritzy actually texts Joe, or do you think he texts his wife, congratulations? I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, man.
Well, I was very careful about that. I actually decided to send him an email so I wouldn't accidentally text it to the wrong person.
Yeah, you can't. You didn't do that, right? You didn't reach out?
I did not. I sent him an email so that it wouldn't somehow get to her, because that caused all kinds of problems before. But I did congratulate him on our behalf that the Hall of Fame.
Joe Buck getting the announcement. That was a cool moment last night in the booth with Troy Aikman. And Troy having his Hall of Fame jacket on. Some people had this reaction with Joe Buck last night. And it was, you know, even like they thought that Joe knew that he was getting into the Hall of Fame and therefore had to act like he was surprised at getting into the Hall of Fame. And I thought even a great moment like that, people on Twitter still find a way to be critical of Joe Buck. He goes into the Hall of Fame with his dad. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool moment there. And congrats to Joe Buck. He's only 51. I mean, come on. He should be broadcasting a little bit longer than that. He's Russell Wilson Jr. III, beat the Falcons in Atlanta. He threw for 4 touchdowns. They host the Patriots coming up Sunday night. He just debuted his new podcast called Danger Talk, and we'll talk about that coming up. What did you watch on TV last night at home?
Oh, what's up, Dan? First of all, I watched the game last night. It was actually a great game to watch. You know, anytime football's back, it's a good thing. So it was definitely a good game.
But how do you watch a game?
I analyze everything.
Okay.
I'm like back there playing quarterback. I'm making the moves. At the same time, I'm also a fan. You know, so when certain guys make great catches, I'm cheering as loud as I can. So I'm a problem when I'm watching a game.
Did you hear what Belichick had to say about you?
I didn't hear exactly what he said, but
I heard. Let me play it because this is a love letter to you, Russ. Here's Coach Belichick.
This guy's a tremendous player. Honestly, I think he's, you know, in a way maybe underrated by the media or the fans. I don't know, but I mean, I don't really see anybody better than this player. He can do everything. He's got, obviously, great leadership, playmaking skills. He plays very well in the most critical situations in the game with his decision-making. You put him up against anybody since he's been in the league, literally anybody, or in any category, really.
He never said that about Tom Brady, Russ.
Yeah, listen, I think he's trying to warm me up for the game. Listen, definitely to hear something like that from Coach Belichick. He's one of the, you know, if he's the best coach arguably to ever coach the game, you know, with all these championships he's won and over the past 20 years and what he's done. And, you know, I'm interested in this game, not just because of Cam and I, but more so between the two oldest coaches and Pete Carroll, 69, and Coach Belichick being 68. But both of those guys have so much wisdom and understanding of the game. You know, I think more than anything else, though, you know, for me, it's about my teammates. It's about what they get to do. and how they get to play, and they make me look better than I am, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, for me, every day I wake up, I wake up to try to be the best in the world. You know, it's in my head every day to try to create a legacy that people can remember and try to be, you know, one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterback to ever play this game.
Do you think you're the best quarterback in the NFL?
Do I think I'm the best quarterback in the NFL? I believe so, okay. You know, without a doubt. Okay. I think, but there's some great ones for sure. I think that you got guys like Patrick Mahomes. You got guys, obviously, like Lamar, who had such a great year last year, and Deshaun Watson. And then you got guys like, obviously, the guys who've been so great for so many years, and Tom and Drew and, you know, Aaron, those kind of players. So, you know, for me, I'm just grateful to be, you know, getting to play this game. You know, I'm one of 32 men in the world. You know, and to have this opportunity. I think also at the same time, you know, with everything that's happened this offseason with COVID and all the things going on in America, you know, honestly, Dan, just to be able to play this game and to get out on the field, you know, we played with nobody in the stands the other day, and I felt like I was playing minor league baseball again all over again. but it was a good time for sure.
And, of course, facing the Patriots, you know, those Super Bowl questions are going to come back. Have they come back this week about when Seattle played New England in the Super Bowl?
No, they haven't come back. I mean, we played them in 2016. We played them in Foxborough, a great matchup, great game. You know, we got the media had asked me about that game too as well, and just how that was one of the best games they've seen. So we've always had some great matchups. I go back to 2012 too, and my rookie year, and I think that's when I really, you know, knew that, you know, I knew that I could play, but I think people started realizing, okay, this could be interesting here in Seattle. So I think it's been a blessing, you know, like I said, just to, you know, get back out there and play ball again.
But I also think because you came in, people didn't know much about you in the Big Ten or the ACC. And then you had the defense that was the star of those teams. I think that's where people took a while to really discover you. I think you became an overnight sensation after maybe 5 years. It just took a longer period of time. Like even the Super Bowl, I said you were the best player on the field in that Super Bowl against the Patriots. And then you won a Super Bowl too.
Yeah, no, I think for me, you know, I've had some great teammates and great coaches and some great people around me. I think to do anything great in life, you got to have support. You got to have great players around you. You know, you got to have those superstar players too as well. And it's been a great process. You know, for me, you know, like I said, I love the process of it all. And, you know, my job, you know, especially now, you know, being my ninth year in the league, is to help guys like DK Metcalf be the best in the world at what he does, to help continue to help Tyler Lockett, you know, show up and just show out every time he steps on the field. He's amazing. That guys like Greg Olsen, who are tremendous teammates, and Will Disley, and such great players. Guys like Chris Carson, I want him to be the best running back in the league and him to continue to do what he does. So,
yeah, but you speaking know, of the running game, Russ.
Yeah.
Is this the year Pete Carroll lets you throw the football in the first three quarters as opposed to the fourth quarter?
Well, I think we definitely mix it up a little bit more. You know, I think that we have such tremendous talent on the edge. You know, when you think about DK Tyler, so many different guys that can make plays. So, you know, I keep knocking on Pete's door. Just
but do you get mad at him? Like, have you ever said, Coach, can you stop making me win games in the fourth quarter? How about we try to win games in the first, second, and third quarter?
Well, I think we got a good stat. I think Coach Carroll and I think we got a good stat. It's like we're 57-0 when leading at half, or 58-0 or something like that. So I keep knocking on Coach's door and say, hey, let's just keep leading at half.
He's Russell Wilson. He's got his game coming up. By the way, we're going to develop a T-shirt in your honor. Let Russ cook.
Hey, listen, I think that I hear those are already being made here in Seattle. I don't know.
But uh-oh. Uh-oh. If not,
Dan, I think you got a business on your hands.
All right, we'll send some for the family. You started this podcast, Danger Talk, and you're doing it with comedian Jeff Dye. So you're going to interview people across sports, entertainment, business worlds. The first two are Shaq and then John David Washington, the great actor. What made you say, let's start a podcast?
Well, you know, I think for me, sitting here around everything that's been going on, it's been really important for me to start talking about not just, you know, obviously the sports entertainment, but also life and how people have grown up and their experiences and everything else. And I'm obsessed with why people are successful and understanding, you know, that process. So for me, having, you know, Shaq on, you know, we had so much fun, had a blast talking about his Mount Rushmore, you know, players that he's played with, and so many different people. And I think that also too, you know, his relationship with Kobe, and you know, if he could say one last thing to Kobe. I think we also talked about, you know, as well with John David Washington, his new movie Tenet, and just how he grew up with, you know, his mom and his dad both being very successful at what they did. Obviously Denzel and everything else, but also his mom was well known too. And just how he uses his craft to be able to tell his story and to tell what he does. And he wants to create his own identity, and how he grows up as a you know, celebrity child and everything else. But how do you create your own identity without people saying, oh, that's just Denzel's son or whatever it may be. And he's been able to do that from Ballers all the way to playing the NFL, but also coming from Morehouse College and being one of the best running backs out of there. And then obviously now being the star in this new movie Tenet, which is pretty amazing. Actually, I'm taking Sierra out to it tonight is the plan. So, you know, I'm excited about that. So, but anyways, it's been really cool on Danger Talk. We got a really cool guest next week. We'll talk about later, but we're excited about it for sure.
Wait, well, who is it? Who's next week?
Well, I can't tell you yet. We haven't announced it yet. So,
well, I know, but this is how you announce it. So, you know, this is, you know, it's available on Apple Podcasts in conjunction with ESPN, the ESPN app, and social channels on ESPN. So,
well, we have this whole reveal thing, and so...
Okay. Can you give me a hint? How about you give the Danettes and myself a hint, and let's see if we could come up with it.
I'll give you a couple of hints.
Okay.
Here.
All right, here we go.
I'll give you a couple options here.
All right.
So the first one, he plays basketball. They're currently out of the...
the playoffs?
The NBA playoffs right now.
Okay.
Really good player. Kind of leads a group of people. Some organizations and such.
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul could be it. You're pretty good. and we have some other people lined
you're
up.
Not,
too well.
You're not good at playing poker.
You know, you get my poker face?
Yeah. Did you need preseason games?
Do I say again?
Did you need preseason games? You know, I mean, you came out firing against the Falcons.
Well, you know, I think for me, you know, I didn't really need them because of, you know, this past year I didn't play in the preseasons. And, you know, you played so many games. I played over 130-140 games, you know, in the NFL so far. I played a bunch, you know, in college and everything else. So now you kind of understand the game. I think the reason why preseason games are significant is for the younger guys. You know, I feel the younger guys. I think about myself. If I came in third round pick, 75th pick overall, but no preseason games, how would I have proven myself, you know? And so I think those preseason games are important for the younger guys. For me, I like the feel of it. So we've had a couple mock games a coach set up. You know, I love the process of getting ready for the game and going through my checklist of what gets me ready and doing that. So, but I didn't feel like I needed them necessarily.
Who's the second best quarterback in the NFC West?
The second best quarterback in the NFC West. Oh man, I'm not a judge of quarterbacks. I'll let you.
Wait. This is what happens when you do a podcast. You have to ask questions like this.
Well, we'll have to talk about it on my show.
I'm gonna take Kyler Murray right now.
He's pretty special, man. He can move around. He can sling it. He's got great players, Hopkins and Larry Fitz, obviously.
How did Arizona get DeAndre Hopkins and Seattle didn't go after? Jamal Adams is wonderful, Russ. But if I said you could – now you're not going to tell me. But here's another podcast question. If you could have had DeAndre Hopkins instead of Jamal Adams, who would you take, Russell Wilson?
Oh, man. I would take both of them. B-O-F-F, both.
Now, I mean, he goes to Hopkins. They got him for nothing.
Yeah, I mean he's a pretty special player.
He's pretty good.
He's made some catches. I've been around him at the Pro Bowls and stuff like that, and he's made some unbelievable catches. And so he loves the game, and he's got an amazing story too. I've gotten to know him pretty well, and him and his mom's story and everything else. So I have a tremendous respect for who he is.
Any more babies? Are we on hold now?
Listen, I keep telling C, you know, it's a good time to do it. You know, there's no concerts coming up, you know. No, but right now, you know, when Harrison Wilson is over there, big old hands, he's ready to play quarterback, and he's running the show already.
Now, did you come up with the name Wynn, or how did that work? Because you wouldn't reveal that to us last time we talked to you about name of the baby.
You guys had some good names. You guys came up with Hawk Wilson. You guys came up with a whole bunch of different stuff.
Yes.
You know, I almost reconsider on the Hawk name, but you know, Wynn was something that me and Sierra always wanted to name our, our son and stuff like that. So
why not Wynn Hawk Wilson?
That's a little too much.
Oh, that's too much.
That's a little overdone, you know, but, you know, for me, you know, also my dad's name was Harrison. So we wanted to put Harrison in there somewhere. And my brother had three girls. And so, you know, just in case he reconsidered having another child, his name's Harrison Wilson the fourth. My dad's was Harrison Wilson the third. So, you know, just in case Harry ended up wanting to have another one, you know, who knows?
My best to your wife, and good luck with the podcast there. It's called Danger Talk, available each week on Apple Podcasts, the ESPN app, and ESPN social channels. And the first two guests are Shaq and John David Washington. Good luck against the Patriots there, Russ.
Thanks, Dan. It's always a pleasure. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Go Hawks, of course. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Phone calls right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Joe Burrow threw 61 passes last night. Russell Wilson's most attempts as a rookie, 37. That's the number of passes Burrow completed last night. So through the first two games of his career, Wilson threw 54 passes. Joe Burrow in his first two games has thrown 97.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, bop, bop. Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
We told you about the Pac-12 coming back probably a week after Halloween, if all goes as expected. Here's some news, according to Pete Thamel, a tweet that the Minnesota wide receiver, Rashad Bateman, who would be a first-round draft pick in the upcoming draft, he now wants to come back and play for Minnesota. Back on campus, enrolled as a full-time student, he did sign with an agent, finds himself in the same scenario as other high-profile players around the country. He opted out and was going to get ready for the draft, and now looks like he's trying to come back in. Sean Wade, the defensive back at Ohio State, I don't know if he signed with an agent, but I know that he was meeting with an agent, and then that morning is when the Big Ten announced that they were coming back. Yeah, Pauline?
We have a call into the NCAA's head office to see if college players who opted out, can they come back, and especially college players who have signed with an agent, will there be an exemption made that they can come back and play this season?
Yeah, good luck hearing from them. We'll hear from the Miami Heat, Duncan Robinson, their star guard. He'll join us coming up top of the hour. You know, the Nuggets and the Lakers, I go back to what Reggie Miller said when he joined us. He said he wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers lost game one to the Nuggets. But, you know, here's the other thing. The Nuggets don't come back from a 3-1 deficit if there truly is a home court advantage. I just don't see them winning a couple of games in Los Angeles. Now, they might win one, but that has helped some of these teams. I think younger players not having a crowd there, they have benefited. Certainly, you look at the Miami Heat, you got some young players on that team. You know, McLovin, you brought this up, that the Clippers basically are Kawhi, Paul George, and a bunch of G League players, right?
I said that. I was being kind of bitter because they were disappointed.
Okay, but look at the Miami Heat. Duncan Robinson was a Division III player.
G League, too.
Yes, G League player. Jay Crowder and Kelly Olynyk used to be with the Celtics, and they were cast off from there. Jimmy Butler is on, what, his third team?
Well, yeah.
Fourth team.
Do you put him in that category, though?
No, well, he was a second-round draft pick?
Yeah, late first, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, their high draft pick was Bam Adebayo. People didn't even know that Goran Dragic was probably still in the league. And they pieced this all together and somehow made it work. So I don't want to hear about, chemistry or whatever. I think that's just a cop-out. You know, this is a team that plays as a team. And you've seen that so far in the first two games. Yeah, McLovin.
Who do you think has more talent, the Celtics or the Heat? Heat?
Probably the Celtics.
Yeah, they have a bunch of number one, number two, number three picks. You're right.
But they don't play the same way that, you know, the Miami Heat do. Here's Jason Tatum. By the way, somebody was throwing a temper tantrum. It might have been Marcus Smart. He was yelling and throwing some stuff after the loss. Here is Jason Tatum about that possibility.
What happens in the locker room, we got to stay in the locker room. It's not supposed to come out here and talk about, you know, what we talk about as a team after a win or a loss. You know, that's why we go in the locker room and talk to each other. Whether we win or we lose. So, I mean, that's that.
Well, it's hard to keep it in the locker room considering his voice was echoing down the hall. That's why it didn't stay in the locker room. And whatever he was throwing, the only reason why that stayed in the locker room is because he was throwing it up against cement walls there. So just want to let the Celtics know. But I don't think the series is over. As much as I love watching the Miami Heat, and I think people are going to finally, if they get to the conference finals, that's, or the, you know, the NBA finals, that's when people are going to discover the Miami Heat. And then you'll hear all these experts saying, you know, I knew that they had the, you know, all this nonsense here. Yeah, they just discovered that. It's like the Denver Nuggets. You know these analysts, I knew the Nuggets had this. No, they didn't. No, he didn't. You were down 3-1 in a previous series and came back. You did it twice. You know? The only reason why we knew anything about Denver was because Michael Porter Jr. called out his coach. And we know about the Joker. Jamal Murray kind of happened. Wait, you know, like, where'd this come from for a lot of people? Oh, I knew he could be a great scorer. Okay, maybe you did. Are you going to tell me, who is it? Some of the backup guys? Grant?
Yeah, I knew. Who is that guy? There's a bunch of guys on them like you've never heard of in your life.
Exactly. Gary Trent. I knew that he could be a difference maker here. Nobody knew anything about this. Yeah, McLovin.
How about Gordon Hayward returning game 3 for the Celtics? Shift the balance of the series. Is that a chance?
Maybe. I mean, that sounded like you were a SportsCenter anchor. Gordon Hayward. Could he shift the balance of game 3?
Oh, my God.
Heat, Celtics, next.
Your whole audience is talking in SportsCenter tease language. Yeah. We're getting hundreds of tweets on this.
Well, if they send them in and we collect the tweets, then I'll read them as if I was on SportsCenter. How about that? If they send them in and they're good, I'll read them as if I was back at SportsCenter. Caleb in Oregon joins us. Hey, Caleb, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, 5'10", a medium 200.
All right.
I was just calling. For years, I've been buying packs of cards just for fun. I've never sold a card in my life. And lately, I've noticed that they've been sold out everywhere. I went to a card shop. Boxes are going for $800, and individual packs are going for $50. And I'm kind of upset that Gary B is telling everyone to do all this investing, because for just people like me and kids and adults who have never decided to grow up who still buy cards, we can't do it anymore. But the good news is, I got an offer. I need your advice. Ooh. I got a Trae Young, Luka Doncic rookie dual jersey card. I'm getting like $400 offered on it. Do you think I should pull the trigger on that or hold it?
Well, I don't know enough about the investment there, but I always believe in holding on to something. But, you know, if you're into flipping houses, then maybe you're into flipping cards there. But I would think investing in those two long term wouldn't be a bad buy. Eric in Ohio. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good, sir.
From Mason, Ohio, home of Mason High School. Go Comets.
Yes.
All right. Got a hot take on Joe Burrow and a question about the Heat for you.
All right.
Joe Burrow, this season, he will at some point be better than Andy Dalton ever was for the Bengals.
Okay.
And question about the Heat. Without getting too far ahead of myself here, how do you think they would match up with the Lakers?
No, we're not going to do that. I can't do that. Thank you, Eric. I don't want to do that to my Miami Heat. I'm talking about the Heat. Duncan Robinson, their great sharpshooter, will join us coming up. Yes, McLovin.
If it turns out to be the Nugget Heat, are they just going to burst the bubble and tell everyone to go home and not even bother? Ratings-wise, I'm sorry.
If it's Heat Nuggets, Adam Silver is going to go, oh, my God, I did all of this for the Nuggets and the Heat. And I'm talking about the Heat. As far as Joe Burrow being better than Andy Dalton, I'd have to look at Andy Dalton's best season. And he did lead this team to the playoffs a few times. All right, one more hour to go on this Meat Friday. We'll check in with the Miami Heat coming up, top of the hour. More phone calls coming up.